Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Joining us now, he is Dusty Evely, a film analyst for Acme Packing Company and the Pack a Day podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dusty Evely. Dusty, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, man. It's been a little bit. Always good to talk to you.
It has been a little bit. This is what I want to know. I'm just going to cut to the chase. A big article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about the fact of LaFleur. Well, you know, we want to score a touch on every drive. Jordan Love. Well, we're leaving plays on the field. Josh Jacobs. Well, you know, there were a couple of plays there that we should have had. And they're acting like, you know, this offense can make all of these improvements and it's right there and they should be better than they are. My God, dude, they've scored over 30 points, what, five straight games? I don't know how much more there is, but you're the film guy. You're the all-22 guy I turn to for this stuff. So are they blowing smoke? It's a bunch of lip service, or are there really those many opportunities that they're simply blowing at this point?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think, like, no team's going to be perfect. I mean, they always say the coach's favorite game is a game they win comfortably by a lot, but also have enough things that they can fix that they can really get on their team about. I mean, you look at this past game, and I've got everything charted. I've not noted, like, the misplays, but, you know, he had there was an incomplete to Wicks, like, on second or third down, I think, like, in the second quarter. That was maybe a little late. It was really more maybe DPI that should have been called. He had a misthrow to Dobbs, I think, in the third quarter. Love did a running game. Not quite as clean as it could be. Sean Ryan struggled a little bit. So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you have to get nitpicky. You just won 34-0. It's the first shutout, I believe, in the NFL this year. It's the first shutout, if I remember the number correctly, they showed on the broadcast, that the Saints have had in 369 games. That's a huge win. Like you said, that's 30-some-odd points. They bungled with the previous week. They bungled the end of the half situation, and they came out with a field goal, and maybe they got a chance for a touchdown instead. So, I mean, I do think some of it is blowing smoke and coaching stuff a little, just in terms of, like, we can't say we're good, you know. But at the same time, there is something to teams are not happy unless they're perfect. Teams are not happy unless they do as well as they feel like they can possibly do. And, yeah, I mean, there are that's the thing that's crazy. They're playing better than they were earlier in the season. They're scoring, like you said, over 30 points a game at this point. The red zone stuff has come up considerably since they came out of the bye. Run game's looking really good, but no team is perfect. There are certainly instances in almost every game you could point to and go, if they did this, I mean, the Saints game is, if they did this, they win by 45. Other games, it's, if they win like this, maybe it doesn't become like a little bit of a hand-wringing coming down the stretch in the second half here. But there are certainly things that can be cleaned up. They can certainly be better. But at the same time, no team's perfect. Every team has those things. That's the nature of football, man. I mean, they've certainly looked way better now than they have, I said, early in the season when they were struggling. Everything's humming at a level it was not then.
Dusty on Wisconsin Sports, daily served up by Wendy's here. We do a different topic every segment. So we try to do 9 topics every single day that we do this show. Our first question of the day, our first segment was this. The Vikings have the second best run defense in the NFL. Do you worry about the Packers abandoning the run game if they don't get it going early?
A little bit, honestly, for me, it's less the Bama thing. I was actually watching, you know, on Christmas night, like we all do, Sparky. I was sitting down watching some Packers film. And
yeah, we all do that. You're right, Jossie. That's what we all do. Yes, you're right. Yes.
Like normal human beings on Christmas. I was looking at, okay, how the Vikings play the run. Why is this run defense so good? And part of it, so to me, it's less abandoning. When you think of, like, the way a team does sim pressures, which is, like, you know, you get seven guys up at the line, like the Vikings can do it on their floor, as we've seen it with Halfley this year, and then the ball snapped, and then you drop guys out. You know, you drop guys out into coverage, you take those zones away, all of that. So you're trying to look like you're blitzing from anywhere. What the Vikings have been doing, I will admit, not paying, like, super close attention to how they've been operating in this respect over the past few years. But this year specifically, they're doing this thing where instead of dropping immediately, they're hanging at the line. So you get these seven-man fronts or a five-man front with two mugged-up linebackers or something like that. So you got seven dudes at the line, maybe someone creeping down. If that's a pass, those guys are dropping out. But they delay it. And so if it's a run, they're coming immediately. And so what a offense has to deal with is – Do we want to run into a seven-man front with a loaded box, or do we want to pass? And so the Vikings present a very unique unique problem to the Packers and to any run offense, really. I mean, I think the Cardinals, like the only game this year, they've given up more than 4.4 yards per carry, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, I kind of wonder about less abandoning. The Packers have their RPO game that they'll do based on number count. I could see them maybe leaning into that a little bit more, taking those throws instead of the runs. I will say I'd be more worried about it if it was early in the season, when I think they ran 13 times against the Vikings, which was Josh Jacobs' lowest carries of the year, lowest touches total of the year. I think where they're at now, there is a bit of, I think the Saints played the run well, there is a bit of we will bang our heads into the wall if we think this will create opportunities for us, that there wasn't there early in the year. So I do think the Packers will continue running in a way that maybe they wouldn't have earlier, even if they're not getting a whole lot of games because they know what that opens up. But I do worry with this kind of very unique way. I've not seen other teams doing it the way the Vikings are doing this other very unique way that the Vikings are dropping off the line and presenting problems in the run game. I'm curious to see how they react to that. But I do think they'll stick with the run, even if it's not working early, just because that's such a core part of their identity now. I just don't think they're going to give that up in favor of going straight drop back 50 times a game.
Those of us that don't watch film on Christmas night every year, which you do, we would say this. Well, if they're hanging at the line, like you say, Dusty, and they're dropping back once they know it's a pass, then can play action pass really be deadly for them?
Yes, they're also very good. So part of it is, part of the problem is, you know, they're not always dropping. Sometimes they're coming. And so you've got this, what you're trying to do with the defense, you're speeding up the quarterback's internal clock. And so, again, if you're presenting seven guys at the line, we'll say, in this scenario, you're presenting seven guys at the line, all seven of those guys can be part of the run fit because of that delayed drop. But on a pass, maybe they're bringing all seven. Maybe they're bringing eight. Maybe they're bringing a guy from the slot as well. Or maybe they're bringing three, and they're dropping the other four. And so, you know, against the blitz stuff, a lot of times you have hots built in. The floor system is slightly different, where the hots are not like, you know, not necessarily the hots that you would think of like a West Coast system type of. But you do have to kind of hang back for a second and suss out where this is coming from. You're not getting the ball out super, super quick because you want to see, are these guys dropping or not? Because what can happen is if they drop and you're like, okay, it's a blitz, I'm throwing the ball really, really quick. Someone's dropping. Someone could potentially be dropping in that lane, but you haven't sussed it out. So to me, like, the bigger deal is I think the play action could work, but that delayed drop, they're delaying that either way, and they're not biting that hard on play action. They're a really smart team in that respect. So the bigger thing for me, play action, no play action, is the ability and willingness of Love to hang in the pocket. I'm taking a 2.5 second drop. I'm taking 2.7 seconds drop to throw this, whether it's a blitz or not, just because I want to make sure I'm not throwing into a trap. So I just think this Vikings defense, with as smart, skilled, as well coached as these guys are, I don't know if the play action really, really is going to do that much more to them, more than just the quarterback hanging in the pocket.
Your thoughts, just because you're an NFL guy, my God, you were watching games on Christmas. Your thoughts on this whole NFL running games up against the NBA yesterday. Now, obviously, the NFL games are on Netflix. So they're going to be pure numbers of how many people were streaming. They have that number. Ratings more of an estimate and so forth. This just came out. I don't know if you saw it or not. NBA Christmas Day games. How about this? That's up 84% from 2023. It was the most watched NBA Christmas Day in the last 5 years.
Yeah. That's the thing. We were watching football because we have that in the background, and we're mainly a football family. We don't watch a ton of basketball. I mean, it's just the nature of football.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, man, I don't love the whole, like, we're going to play on Christmas because you've already got Thursday games, which throw off schedules. Now you got Wednesday games on Thursday, like, for Christmas. I don't love it, man. Like, I understand what they're trying to do, and I'm all about trying to steal away ratings, right? Like, that's cool. Christmas is NBA's day. And maybe if those games were better, maybe this is a different conversation. The NFL games stunk out loud.
Yes, they did.
Contribute to it as well.
Yes, they absolutely did stink out loud. There's no question about that. I want to get your thoughts on this Packers defense a little bit, getting ready to go up against this Vikings offense. Without Jaire Alexander, Matt LaFleur probably saying today that he doesn't pretty much see Jaire Alexander probably playing in this game either. With that being said, how do you go about attacking this Vikings offense if you're the defense?
Oh, man. I mean, it's tricky because you want to get pressure on Darnold. He's been better this year than he had been usually with Darnold. This is very much a get pressure in his face, and he will make two or three of the dumbest decisions you've ever seen in your life. And there's still some of that Darnold in there, for sure. There always will be. But I think that's been mitigated somewhat, and they've got so much talent on the receiving side of the ball there that it's tough. I mean, I do think that's probably number one that they're going to have to do. You got to confuse up front, whether you're blitzing guys or not. You got to confuse it, drop some guys late, you know, again, like the Vikings are doing, drop guys into lanes in case he's looking for hots. But like every other thing, like you need to get pressure with four. And Packers are doing better at that than they were before. Especially, I think these tackles can be had a little bit. If you run the arc on them, you can get these tackles a bit. So I think, you know, Rashawn Gary, maybe the emergence of Brenton Cox, maybe this makes this slightly different for them. Get some push up the middle. What you want to do with Darnold, it's less about getting him on the run because he can make these throws on the run, but it's about kind of how they built this line, built the defensive line, which is crush the pocket. Make him uncomfortable. Don't give him escape lanes. Force him into a smaller, just slightly more crushing, condensed pocket, and then he will do something dumb. Like, he'll give you two or three balls a game that you can pick off. It's tough on the back end without Jaire. I do think Caffley's done a good job of kind of mitigating his loss there and playing pretty well. But I think the key to the game is if you let Sam Darnold, and this is no different from a lot of other quarterbacks, you let Sam Darnold sit back there, he's going to dice you up a bit, especially with guys like Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, with Hockenson playing the way he's been playing. I think you're kind of setting yourself up for a lot of trouble. But if you are able to condense the pocket on him, compress that, get him uncomfortable, get those feet a little happy, and drop guys off the line of scrimmage. So you get in rush with four or five, get those stunts rolling, then drop guys off into these zones where he may be looking to go. I think that's how you can get it. And then, again, if they're running deep, that's McKinney territory right there. You make him uncomfortable, he's going to sail you a couple. So get pressure on him. He's going to give you a few. And then when he gives you a few, you got to make sure you capitalize on him.
I want to get your thoughts on the flavor of the day from people talking about the Packers and their defense. That's Brenton Cox. Paul Breidel of ESPN Lacrosse says since week 11, he ranks 15th amongst defensive ends in Pro Football Focus's pass rush win rate metric and 5th in pass rush productivity and efficiency metric, according to Paul Breidel. Your thoughts on just how good he is and how good he might turn into being?
He's been good. I was talking about this with someone recently. This is a rare case. I think of like Jonathan Ford. The Packers did this with Jonathan Ford. They take a guy. Brenton Cox was a different thing, just as his personality and everything in college was different. But you take these guys that, like, all right, man, we're sitting. They're not necessarily in practice squad. We're sitting them, and they're going to be inactive on game day. But we think there's something there with raw talent. We think we can develop it. This is one of the cases where I think this has really worked for them. Cox, the book on him coming out of college was supremely talented, fast, physical, good bender off the line there. He just was just a trouble with his personality, got him kicked off of two squads in college that don't typically kick guys out of those programs. And so if you can harness that, get him to learn some counters off his moves, he could be a problem. And I don't know if he's, ever going to be fully the guy that maybe you hoped he would be. And certainly some of those pressures have been on block stuff, which is kind of a credit to Halfley, interior line, to kind of help open some of that stuff up. But he's been good. He's been getting off blocks. He's got speed and power off the edge. We've seen him bowl some guys over. We've seen him beat some guys around the edge. It feels, I might be wrong in this. I've watched him. I will admit to not watching him super duper closely, but this feels real to me. When they took that pick, and if you watched what he did in college, this is more or less what you're like, okay, I could see him turning into that dude in the NFL. Like, this is the guy, this is the vision you have, if he can harness that talent, if he can keep himself out of trouble. And it seems like he has done that. So I hesitate to say, yes, this is real, because it has been, relatively short term. This has not been all season for him. But this looks real to me. He looks like the player I kind of envisioned he was going to turn into, which is just pretty exciting when you take a chance on a guy like that.
All right, time predictions for Dusty Evely, Acme Packing Company and Pack-A-Day Podcast. Who you got? What's the score? Packers-Vikings Sunday.
Oh, Packers 38-31.
Ooh-wee.
We're keeping it rolling. Packers got him in the second half of that last game. I think they outscored him like 22-3 in the second half of the first time they played. Love was not healthy. That was his first game coming off that knee injury. The run game isn't where it should have been at that point.
Narvison is gone as a field goal kicker. That helps. He missed two. Don't forget that.
Really good point.
Yeah.
Again, that was like they gave Jacobs the ball, I think, at 13 touches in that game. They can't get to any of their spinner split gun because of his Love's knee. I think just offensively, where these weapons are, where the running game is, where everything is, where the defense is now that it wasn't before. Listen, dude, this could look real dumb, like most things I say, but I think they keep it rolling. I'll go 38-31. I think Love had a good approach the last game. He just wasn't quite healthy enough. But I'm excited this week.
I got one last thing. Something that's not as stressful. Have you been following all these stories about what their quarterbacks are getting? They're getting their NFL offensive linemen. Have you been following this? Like,
no, Brock, honest, dude. The only thing I saw was Josh Jacobs buying necklaces for the offensive line. That's
yes,
all I've seen.
Sweet pendants, right? The diamond studded ones, yeah. Right? So Brock Purdy goes out and buys his dudes all these expensive trucks for his offensive line. He hasn't even hit a big contract yet, so he buys them all brand new vehicles. Okay, fine. Justin Herbert, who's making a ton of money, bought them little like suitcases, travel suitcases with like Delta airline gift cards. Okay, sure, whatever. Now while you're talking, I see Adam Schefter tweet out that Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley bought their offensive linemen golf carts for Christmas. Dusty Evely, you're an offensive lineman. What do you want from your quarterback?
No, man. Well, just take me out to a nice dinner. Let me stay at your house at some point. Let me stay at that really nice pad there. Honestly, I mean, it's offensive linemen, right? Like, what do they want that much? They're kind of not that they're like a simple people by any stretch of the imagination, but if you think of like just dudes being dudes. That's your offensive lineman. Give me a 4x4. Give me somebody to go mudding in. That's what I want as an offensive lineman.
That makes sense, right? That's why I say I think Brock Purdy got it right, and Herbert got it wrong. Hurts got it. What the hell am I going to do with a golf cart? Am I leaving it at the golf course? I'm not traveling around the country with my golf cart.
I mean, if we're doing golf carts, do the like the souped up ones. Bakhtiari got that one for Rodgers. Give me one of those. Give me something that's got like a jetpack on the back of it. Give me a Batmobile. Like, give me something cool I can drive around in, please.
I mean, these tires look wider and fancier than a normal golf cart. I don't know, man. They don't look that bougie to me. I mean, I would want complete bouginess if you're doing this and you have as much money as Barkley and Hurts. Either way.
Well, give me spinners on the rims.
There you go, right.
Give me something big.
Homage to Latrell Sprewell, Milwaukee's own. Right, exactly right. Yes, Dusty Evely. Now you're talking.
That's right.
I like it. Dusty, thanks so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me, Sparky.